This is The Political Scene, a weekly conversation with New Yorker writers and editors about politics. It's Thursday, March 23rd. I'm Dorothy Wickenden, executive editor of The New Yorker. Presidencies can be crippled when several forces converge. Revelations about official investigations into wrongdoing by aides or the president himself, nonstop press coverage, denials and smoke screens issued by the White House, and defections within the president's party. These forces have been gathering momentum this week, starting on Monday morning with FBI Director James Comey's opening statement before the House Intelligence Committee's first public hearing on Russian interference in the 2016 election.
I have been authorized by the Department of Justice to confirm that the FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. And that includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government, and whether there was any coordination between the campaign and Russia's efforts. As with any counterintelligence investigation, this will also include an assessment of whether any crimes were committed.
Ryan Lizza joins me to discuss the scandal-plagued presidency of Donald Trump and how recent events have made it harder for him to conduct the presidency. Thanks for coming on, Ryan.
Oh, my pleasure.
You were in the committee room on Monday, and at one point, Michael Turner, a Republican congressman from Ohio, asked Comey about what constitutes the tipping point in a counterintelligence investigation. And Comey replied that the standard is a credible allegation of wrongdoing or reasonable basis to believe that an American may be acting as an agent of a foreign power.
That is the line I would have picked out, too, for this discussion. I think there are interesting questions around this, too, Dorothy, because let's think about this for a second. If it's not a clear-cut case, what does actually trigger an American citizen from being, say, someone who talks to a foreign agent to someone that is colluding with a foreign agent trying to influence the election? Is it, and this is just pure speculation, I don't want to slander anyone, but is it, say, someone like Roger Stone talking to the folks who published the stolen emails? Is that illegal? So the intelligence community says that the Russians hacked into John Podesta's email account and stole all his emails, and hacked into the DNC system and stole all their emails, and then dumped all of that material through third parties to WikiLeaks. So what if we get into this gray area where people associated with the Trump campaign had knowledge of that, maybe talked to those third-party cutouts, tipped off the Trump campaign that it was coming. I don't know, just some of the Comey language the other day and some of the reporting from anonymous sources this week suggests that the FBI is grappling with some of those issues about what actually triggers full-on collusion.
I was interested by a piece you wrote for NewYorker.com this week. On Monday, before the committee hearing, you were texting with a White House official who dismissed as marginalia such figures as Manafort and Stone. And that official also told you, I think Comey will come down and say there's absolutely was no collusion, contact, or anything like that with the campaign. And that was immediately disproved.
Yeah, that didn't hold up very well. I mean, that was an hour and a half, 2 hours before Comey's testimony. And I think that shows two things. One is that the FBI, and especially under Comey, has done a fairly good job protecting the investigation from executive branch officials, especially at the White House, and that the White House just doesn't have much visibility into this investigation. Otherwise, why in the world would one of Trump's closest advisors be telling me that Comey was about to sort of semi-vindicate them in his testimony?
And Trump himself was tweeting the same thing.
They just didn't know what they were talking about, right? And he also, knowing what we know about Comey, you have to wonder he takes that. But then the second thing is, it was just more of the sort of typical kind of ridiculous spin that we've seen all week, both from Sean Spicer and from some other Trump people. And that is that some of the names that have been mentioned that the FBI might be looking at, including Paul Manafort and Carter Page and Roger Stone, this argument that, well, they weren't really, you know, they were just interns on the campaign or they weren't really important figures, and as that person that you mentioned told me, you know, marginal figures.
Even though Manafort was the campaign chairman throughout the most critical months of the campaign.
Basically, from March to August, he steadily increased his control of the campaign. For the last 3 months of his tenure, he was the campaign chairman, running the campaign, fending off the final opponents to Donald Trump in the primary, and then pulling off a convention, which they were worried might be contested. You know, Manafort successfully got Donald Trump the nomination. He was no marginal figure.
I want to go back a little bit to understand how Comey went from being the bête noire of the Democratic Party to being one of the biggest threats facing Donald Trump. So the investigation began in late July, 8 months ago. It was well underway when he announced that the FBI was reopening its criminal inquiry into Hillary Clinton's email server. Why would he have chosen to go public in late October with the Clinton investigation, but not the Trump one?
That is the great question, and unfortunately, nobody asked him that on Monday. But a lot of Democrats, I think, are having a little bit of trouble getting excited about Comey's investigation of Trump, considering how they feel that he affected the election last year. You know, we know now that for 3 months, Donald Trump was being investigated by the FBI when Comey sent that famous letter in late October that caused a noticeable drop in the polls and may have cost Hillary Clinton the election. Look, the election was so close. You know, it was, what, 70,000 votes in three states. So everything cost her the election. But he has a lot of explaining to do that he has not yet done, even at that long committee hearing the other day, as to why he felt it was so important to make a public statement about an investigation into one of the candidates while being completely silent about an investigation, and frankly, from what we know so far, a more serious investigation into one of the other candidates. Now, he might say he kind of hinted at this in his testimony, that there's a difference between an investigation that is closed and one that is ongoing.
Presumably, there's also a difference between a criminal inquiry and a counterintelligence investigation?
Well, I mean, maybe you could argue, yes, it's so sensitive because of classified information and national security. But then again, Clinton's was about classified information.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he has a leg to stand on. And both sides were furious about this. Devin Nunes, the Republican chairman of the House Intel Committee, he told me after the hearing that he was very disappointed with Comey, that Comey never briefed him on the Trump investigation until about 2.5 weeks ago. And on the other side, Adam Schiff, who was very happy with Comey's testimony and is very happy with the thoroughness of the current investigation, but he too expressed some displeasure about the fact that this was just not raised last year when...
Tell us about the drama between Adam Schiff and Devin Nunes, because that also was an extremely important exchange representing the two different parties' sides in how they're laying out the issues at stake.
For the Democrats, the most important issue, as we saw on Monday, is the question of collusion. And so most of the Democrats' questions to Comey and to Admiral Rogers were about links between the Trump campaign and the Russians. And, you know, you saw some Democrats spin some fringe unproven theories, but all of them were concerned with that question. On the Republican side, they were really obsessed with a much narrower question, which is the leaking of classified information, and specifically who leaked the fact that Michael Flynn, the former national security advisor to Donald Trump, was talking to the Russian ambassador.
Hi, it's David Remnick. If you're enjoying this podcast, you might enjoy even more of what The New Yorker has to offer. Becoming a subscriber gives you unlimited access to The New Yorker, including Pulitzer Prize-winning reporting, insightful cultural commentary, and fiction and poetry. You'll also enjoy our delightful cartoons, crossword puzzles, narrated stories, and much more. This past year, our readers were gripped by Ronan Farrow's profile of Elon Musk, Heidi Blake's extraordinary tale about Dubai's runaway princesses, and much more. Visit NewYorker.com to gain access to all this and more. Use the code POD15, P-O-D-1-5, to secure a 15% discount on a yearly digital subscription. That's POD15 for a 15% discount.
So last night, Nunes went to see Trump at the White House before he briefed his colleagues on the committee about ostensibly new information. So tell us about that.
Well, and it's really hard to say what he was talking about, but all of a sudden, Nunez shows up at the White House and says he's just come from briefing the president about new information he's learned about surveillance of Trump associates and perhaps Trump himself at Trump Tower. And he's not talking about the famous wiretap that Donald Trump falsely accused Obama of setting up, but he was talking about this incidental surveillance, our spy agencies monitoring the communications of foreign agents who they were targeting. And those people were, according to Nunez, talking to Trump associates, and they got picked up in that routine surveillance.
But wait, Nunez is the chair of this committee, the Intelligence Committee.
Yes. The last word we have from his committee is that Donald Trump, or at least his associates, are the subject of the investigation. So
yes.
It's extremely odd that he's going to brief the president about anything concerning the investigation. So he's really kind of tainted the investigation and maybe has sort of destroyed the credibility of the committee.
And then at that point, Schiff had to call his own news conference and said, if the chairman's going to continue to go to the White House rather than his own committee, there's no way we can conduct this investigation. So that was somewhat expected, given where he's coming from. But then Senator McCain said on MSNBC, he called for a congressional select committee. Saying essentially the same thing Schiff had said.
Yeah, basically saying, you know what, you guys had a shot. It was looking pretty good Monday, and you blew it. By going over to the White House, you've tainted your investigation. You can't do this. We need outsiders to come in with full subpoena power, like the 9/11 Commission, and do it. And I wonder. Did Nunez do this on purpose to just blow up his committee because he didn't like the outcome of Monday and he was getting too much blowback from Republicans about the fact that this committee was looking too serious and looking like it was going to actually get to the bottom of a few things? I don't have any proof that he did that, but it's just he had to know that by going to the White House, briefing the president, and then not revealing very many details, that he was damaging the reputation of the investigation.
But see, what I was struck by, maybe I'm off base here, but he was an advisor, was he not,
yes,
to Trump?
His main titled role was during the transition, when he was on one of the policy committees during the transition.
What seems to be amazing here is the extent to which Trump is able to draw his allies into his own webs of lies and diversions, and thus damaging Trump's administration, but also these people who want to support him.
Absolutely. And just one word on Nunez. I mean, I remember, Dorothy, when we did a piece in late 2015 about the Freedom Caucus, Nunez in that piece and just in Congress in general was the Republican voice of not quite moderation because he's very conservative, but of honesty and truth-telling. And he made a lot of news in that piece because he said the biggest problem in Republican politics right now is the spread of misinformation. And so it is slightly strange that he's become one of Trump's great allies on this issue. And look, I will give a tiny little scoop on the show here. I was talking to a Democratic member of the House Intelligence Committee last night, and this congressman said that he knows for a fact that Nunez talks regularly to Trump. Now, you know, not surprising. He's a top Trump supporter. But how can that person run a credible investigation?
Let's play just a bit from the end of the hearing on Monday when Nunez said this to Comey.
And we're conducting our own investigation here. And if you have evidence, especially as it relates to people in the White House that are working in the White House or the administration, I mean, that would be something that we really should know about, and we should know about quickly. And so if you can't give it to the entire committee, I hope you can at least give it to myself and Mr. Schiff, because, you know, there is a big gray cloud that you've now put over people who have very important work to do to lead this country. And so the faster you can get to the bottom of this, it's going to be better for all Americans.
I think the gray cloud line is interesting because it was interpreted in the media as Nunez commenting negatively on the White House. In other words, him being shocked that suddenly there's this gray cloud over the White House. What he was trying to say actually is that it's unfair that there's this cloud over the White House, that Comey has come before the committee, made this dramatic claim about this investigation and then refused to rule out whether Trump himself was under investigation and the breadth of the investigation. Now, Nunes himself, just like Schiff, the two top members of that committee, they have been privately briefed on the precise nature of the FBI investigation. So when they talk, you have to remember that they know a lot more than what they're saying. And reading between the lines, what I believe Nunes is getting at is that he knows, and he sort of hinted at this if you watch his comments closely, he knows that the investigation is not about Trump personally, that it is about the people that have been named publicly, the former staffers and the other associates, and that he thinks it's unfair that Comey refused to make that point. And when asked, Comey refused to say that whether Trump was or was not part of the investigation.
But he inadvertently came up with probably the best description of the severity of Trump's situation.
Absolutely. And if we're talking conspiracy theories about what Nunes did, was it coordinated with the White House? Did the White House have advance notice that he was going to pull this stunt yesterday?
I was also struck that Schiff last night picked up part of the phrase, saying that Nunes's latest action casts quite a profound cloud over our ability to do the work. So I just wanted to ask how big you think that gray cloud is now. How much is it affecting the Republicans' domestic agenda? So the other thing that we haven't even mentioned is the health care bill that the Republicans are trying to ram through the House, and that's taking place today.
You know, I have to say, I've seen people argue that the FBI investigation has made it easier for Republicans to defy Trump, and I don't totally buy it. Most of the House Republicans are dismissive of the whole Russia investigation, and their views on healthcare and Trump, I feel like, are fairly independent of that.
And they aren't worried about his declining poll numbers?
You know, it's such a funny dynamic because the members who are the most opposed to this bill are the members in districts where Trump is the most popular. And so I don't think just yet the Comey testimony is causing Republicans to balk at Trump's domestic agenda. I think the reasons they're balking at health care are independent of the investigation.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Ryan Lissa reports from Washington for The New Yorker and is a commentator for CNN. This has been The Political Scene from The New Yorker. You can subscribe to this and other New Yorker podcasts by searching for The New Yorker in your podcast app. And find more political analysis and commentary on NewYorker.com. Feel free to rate and review The Political Scene on iTunes. This podcast is produced by Alex Barron for NewYorker.com with help from Daniel Wenger. I'm Dorothy Wickenden.